Come, Holy Spirit, fall on us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. God's time. God's time. We know it's not like our time. God has the ability to make a day seem like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years seem like a day. Scripture tells us. Oh, by the way, Betty, it's very common for children who are about to be baptized to get all their kicking and screaming, their devilishness out right now, see? See, we're about to baptize her, see? So she's a... The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we're not distracted. As a matter of fact, we expect to have this sort of orneriness right before her baptism. So don't even sweat it. That's what I was trying to tell John in language a minute ago. But God has an incredible time that is very, very different from ours. Let me give you just one little example of it. A couple of years ago, maybe four years ago, the church that we were then, St. Michael's Episcopal, wanted to hire a youth minister. But we didn't have a lot of money, and we weren't a really big church. But we formed a little committee, and we began seeking out someone to take the position. There was a young life youth leader who had just started visiting the church, and so we asked her to be on the committee, thinking this girl knows youth ministry. She'll help us design a job description and help us get ready for this youth minister. And lo and behold, by the time we were done with the process of putting together the job description, this young life staff person says to me, "You know what? I think I want to apply for that job." That was Betty Carroll. I said, "Betty, maybe you didn't notice how little we're paying." "I know, I want to do it." And miraculously, though, we didn't Betty ministry at St. Michael's. And she came with us as we became servants of Christ. And she has been an incredible blessing to this body, as has John, her husband. In many, many ways, these guys have blessed us. This is an example of God's timing. It's amazing to me in this place, over the last 5 years, you know, August will be 5 years for me here with this body of people. And in that 5 years, I am amazed at God's time. I mean, it's like just when we need something or someone, usually it's someone we need, the Lord provides them. And He's been so faithful to do that. And just the way He's done with Betty and John. I don't believe it is coincidence when we have our first child or when we have our children, the body of believers that God surrounds us with, Betty and John. I don't think it's coincidence. I look back on the people that were surrounding Jake and Charlie and Samantha when they were born. And I give thanks. I'm amazed at the incredible gifts of God that He provided for them. We're going to travel. Part of our vacation is going to be to go to Maryland to be a part of Jake's godfather's his change of command. He's a commander in the Navy, and we're going to be a part of that. And we're going to get to be a part of his honored guest at this change of command ceremony. And we're blessed to do that. I'm blessed that God has sent godly godparents into my children's lives, but it's not coincidence. It's not by circumstance or accident that you're here and been born this last year in this community. I believe in coincidences when it comes to the way God works. His timing is impeccable. Our New Testament reading today, we hear about the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not as if the Spirit of God was not present from the beginning of creation. As a matter of fact, we know that it was the Spirit of God that was over creation, that it was God's instrument through the Son, Jesus, to create the world. The Spirit was at work. The Spirit, from time to time throughout the Old Testament, you can see the Spirit of God coming upon leaders, men and women, folks like Deborah and Gideon and Moses and King David, and the Spirit of God came upon them and did incredible things for them. But here, in this particular time, God's perfect time, He released the Spirit in a new way, pouring the Spirit out on all those who were gathered there, waiting for whatever was supposed to happen next. They had seen Jesus ascend back into heaven, and they were waiting, probably trembling, probably fearful of what comes next. And in His perfect timing, God pours out His Spirit, not on just a few, not on a select for a certain mission, but He gives His Spirit to all believers. The power of God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that gave strength to Gideon and all those Old Testament heroes that we love to hear about, that power and that Spirit has come to be with us. Empower us. We know part of the reason why the timing came on that Pentecost day. It's because it was time for the Spirit to do His work of convicting the world of their need to receive the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' work on earth is done. He has returned to the Father, and those who are left are called to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the one who fills all things. He's the one who makes all things fit together. The Spirit is given so the church would understand that it's not just the people who stumble in that are supposed to hear, but all those out there, no matter what their tongue or tribe or language is, they're supposed to hear. That's the reason why there's so many languages spoken to the day, on that day. When the Spirit comes, He often comes in power and in ways that are unusual to us. But never mistake, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is always to glorify the Father and the Son. Lots of times we can get distracted and begin to get so excited. Either we are scared to death of the Holy Spirit and we avoid Him all the time, or we actually experience the Holy Spirit and we get such a high on the Spirit that we begin to run after experiences, and yet what always the Holy Spirit is wanting to do is to equip us and empower us to share about the Son, to do ministry in the Son's name. And He does it with impeccable timing. Puts us in places where someone needs us to share about Jesus. I mean, if we were to all stand up, we were to take that, if I was just to bring the microphone, I bet I could go around this room and you could all tell me four or five instances at least in your life where just it was a miraculous thing. You happened to have run out of gas at a place where there was a person there who not only had gas for you, but began to share about Jesus. I've heard all these stories about God's impeccable timing. And that's His Holy Spirit in us. Jesus tells us that when the Spirit comes, He's going to teach us all things and remind us of everything that God has, that Jesus has told them. Peace, He says, He leaves with them, not as the world gives. The Spirit wants us to always walk, not necessarily knowing what is going to happen next. Place in God's purpose. I gotta tell you, I often don't know what's coming next. But I know the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is with me. And what I've learned over these 20 years of following Christ in a consistent way is that you begin to get a sense of what He's calling you to do and not to do. And there is nothing quite like that. There is nothing like laying your hand on someone with a strong sense that you are really supposed to pray for that person. Not right this second. Okay. But Scott would be ready to go with that. Or that you really have a word for someone. Or that God's really going to use you in some extraordinary way. And that's the Spirit. That's this gift given at the perfect time in history, released into the church to do His work. Now tonight is Riley's time. Oh, what all the Holy Spirit has in mind for her long life. But I know that tonight is God's time for Riley. She can't yet comprehend that Jesus died. She doesn't yet understand that He rose from the dead, that He came to give her life, even though her life's just begun, and that He wants His Holy Spirit to lead her to whatever He has planned for her. But that's the other aspect of God. Pretty incredible. He can retro it. He can retro His time when He wants. I've shared before at baptisms that the Jake, my son, who I'm going to embarrass, the day that he prayed on his bed to receive Jesus, when he, I think he was in fifth grade, 7 years old. 7 years old. Not fifth grade, 7 years old. I gave thanks for his baptism. Because I knew that somehow that was God's time when he was baptized as a child. God put His mark upon him, began His work in Jake's life. And so the minute Jake was old enough to understand and say, yes, I believe in Jake, I recognized God's time when he was just a little guy, a wee little guy. He's a big guy now, so. Oh, mercy. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. Going away, preparing a place for the disciples. It is a frightening world we live in, full of scary things and hard to understand circumstances. We dare not, this little one, to go out into that world without the surrounding community of believers who will watch out for her and pray for her. Call her down when she climbs on the pews and encourage encourage her mommy and daddy as she grows up. And yet it is because the Spirit is given that we can have confidence and not be troubled and not be afraid. Knowing that she's not just another child walking around out there. She's one that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. She's one for whom that God has already put His mark upon and is bringing her to a place of salvation. In a few minutes, you're going to be asked as a congregation to commit yourselves to doing all in your power to see that this little one is brought into the faith of Jesus Christ, the full knowledge of what that means. It's not by accident or coincidence that Riley's here. We don't know where they will be next year, unfortunately, or the year after. But we know where Riley is today. We know where John and Betty are today. And we place our faith, God's timing and His purpose, and especially on this day, the power of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.